these from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just going to come right out and say it to you right now. This is not the gospel reading that I would have ever picked for my last Sunday here at Our Savior, with John's beheading being at the forefront of it. This is certainly not a good gospel reading. Maybe some of you would like to see me at beheaded, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But this is certainly not one of those gospel readings that I would have ever thought would be fitting. And yet, as gory, as gruesome, and as downright disgusting as it is, it's not as much fitting for me as it is for all of you. And hear me out for a second. When we find out what the purpose is of John's beheading, we can understand exactly what and why this gospel reading is so important for us to hear. Again, it fits very well for my last Sunday with you here at Our Savior, and here's why. Because God is with us even in the midst of our sorrows. Even in the midst of John's beheading, God was still with his people. Now, from this unfortunate tragedy of John's death, we learn that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, we need to dig in a little deeper into this reading, into these verses surrounding this reading, to understand this truth. From the reading, we can see that King Herod felt a little guilty for what he had done. He was feeling guilty because he knew that John was important to God's plan. He had John beheaded. He wasn't happy about doing it. He was actually sorry. From our reading, we hear that. But he couldn't change what he had said. He couldn't let his ego be deflated for any reason. You see, Herod had a problem. He was sleeping with his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. John was speaking against Herod. He was speaking against Herodias for the things that they were doing. It was obvious that neither of them wanted to stop committing adultery. So what do you do when someone confronts you with your sin and you don't want to hear it? You have to try to silence them. You have to try to silence the one who's calling you out on your sins. And Herod did just that. He had John thrown into prison. Herod sought to silence John, and this imprisonment did just that. However, John was still able to proclaim God's word to Herod. Our reading says Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to put him to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. He kept him safe. When Herod heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. John was safe in prison. He was still able to speak the word of God to Herod. He was still able to proclaim the law and the gospel of God, repentance and forgiveness, to Herod. But then, that all changed. Herod fell prey. He fell prey to the lusts of his heart. He fell further into sin. He had his brother Philip's wife. And he wasn't going to stop there. Our reading says an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." There was that opportunity. Herod couldn't back down from this vow that he had just made in front of his nobles, in front of his so Herodias' daughter came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once that of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king, Herod, was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oath and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. Look at what sin does. It takes the life of someone else just to keep our egos happy. It seeks out pleasure and will offer the world in order to be pleased. It's easy for us, right? Herod's sins are exposed for us. We can read them. We can study them on our own. We see it. We can examine him. Then we can examine ourselves. John doesn't die without a purpose. God uses John's tragic death to teach us a few things. We learn from John's death that our sins are nothing to be taken lightly. Look at all that Herod was willing to do for the sake of sin. He was pleased by the girl and he wanted her. He was lusting after her. He offered her much. He didn't want his ego to take a hit if he couldn't deliver. Now, it's easy for us, right? We sit here and we go, look at Herod. Look at how terrible he is. Look at how disgusting he is. But are we any different in the eyes of God? No. No. We're not different in the eyes of God because sin is sin is sin. Well, what does that mean? Sin is all the same in the eyes of God. If we sin in one little dot, it's as though we've sinned in all of it. It's all evil. That's the law. Through this tragedy, we see the law of God. We see the need for our own repentance. We see our need for help. We see that sin is a sickness that overcame Herod, and it can just as easily overcome us as well. But there's hope. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, I wouldn't have picked this reading for this Sunday. However, this reading does fit well with today, and here's how. It was no surprise that at the news of John's death, all of his disciples were devastated. Jesus was even saddened by the news of John's death. It shook all of Christendom. It bothered a lot of people. John was the voice crying out in the wilderness. We remember that. He was the baby who jumped for joy in his mother's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. This is John. We know him. And he proclaimed repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed Christ. His death was tragic, but it did show us one very important thing. God's message of hope wasn't going to be stopped. And this is where we are today. God's message of hope will not be stopped. It will continue to go forth, even after I'm gone. The word of God will still be proclaimed here in its truth and purity by the grace of God. So, what do we see from the video? After John's death, Jesus carries that message of hope himself. In the Gospel of Mark, we see right after John's beheading, if you opened up your Bibles and you took a look, right after John's beheading, Jesus is out in that wilderness and he feeds 5,000. Mark 6:34 says this. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is the embodiment of all that John was proclaiming. And even though John is dead, the word of God still goes forth. Jesus feeds the 5,000 and he teaches them. just reading it, came to my conclusion that maybe this great crowd that followed Jesus were some of John's disciples. You heard the words, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Maybe those people thought all hope was lost. John was dead. But all hope is not lost. Maybe they felt abandoned by God. But that wasn't true. Jesus was their shepherd. Maybe they felt that all hope was lost because John's now dead. That's not true. Jesus is their shepherd. So let's focus on ourselves for just a second. This new call that I received is leading me away from you. This doesn't mean that all hope is lost. This doesn't mean that God's word will no longer be proclaimed in its truth and purity here at our Savior. And it certainly doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. God is forming new pastors right now in both seminaries to proclaim his true word. Just like when I received the call to serve you 7 years ago. Same thing happens. And after John's death, God's word still went out to all nations. There were still pastors. The same is true in our case. God's word will still be proclaimed to you here in this place. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You are his children. You are part of his flock. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the Lord of the church, and he already knows who your next pastor will be. Take comfort. Take comfort in knowing that truth. That even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of tragedy, God is still in control. Even as there are tears shed today, because we are parting ways, God is still with us. His cross is proof of that. His cross is proof of the distance that Jesus is willing to go for each and every one of you. And when I leave, I'm not taking that with me. That's the cross that stands in the church. All of these things don't disappear once I'm gone. Christ is still with you. He will be walking with you. Will there be hard times? Yes, there will be. Will there be disagreements? Yes, there will be. But we walk together in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When you walk together stronger than if you are to fight with one another about these things. I encourage you to remember all that Christ has done for you in this place and put aside the petty arguments and look forward to God's word being proclaimed in its truth and purity in this location. Because that is the plan that God has for you. That's the plan that God has for me as well. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You are his children. And John's death was sad. Again, I wouldn't have picked this reading. And yet, there were tears for John. My leaving you is sad. I'm saddened by it. You are saddened by it. We will shed tears. But this separation is not forever. God is the one who wipes away all the tears from our eyes, who takes away our sadness and gives us joy. We got a plan. He has a plan, and his plan is perfect, and that plan is accomplished through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.